And now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to Luke, and these studies I have entitled Lessons from Luke, simply choosing out some of the highlights as we see them in this beautiful Gospel. And today I want to read to you from chapter 18. The 18th chapter, then, of the Gospel according to Luke, we shall begin our reading at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts in thy presence now. And in this attitude of prayer, we confess our complete dependence upon thee. We depend upon thee for the very breath that is in our nostrils. We depend upon thee for the sun that rises upon us each morning, and for thy protecting care during the hours of night. But above and beyond all the temporal blessings, we acknowledge that we depend upon thee for salvation. And we give thee thanks for sending thy beloved Son to die on Calvary's cross in order to provide salvation for poor sinners such as we. Now we would ask of thee that thy blessing shall rest upon us during this broadcast, and upon all those who listen. And not only while they listen, may thy hand be upon thy children hour by hour and day by day, until that day dawn, when the shadows shall flee away, and the Lord shall call his waiting people home. Hear us now, and accept of our thanks for thy blessings, as we ask all in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, this interesting parable that we have read, may I suggest that when you read these sayings of the Lord, we should stop and ask yourself this question. To whom was the message first of all made known? To whom was he speaking? And then you ask yourself a second question. What was the main lesson that the Lord was seeking to convey to his hearers? Now, it is very easy to answer these questions from the passage I have read to you in this 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. For example, it says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, that makes it very plain. The character of the people to whom this parable was first spoken. People who trusted in themselves. And they trusted in themselves to such an extent that they despised others. They considered themselves to be very, very righteous people. That is, they considered that they were accepted by God on the basis of their own righteousness. And they thought so much of themselves that they despised others. You know that attitude, don't you? It's the holier-than-thou attitude. And these Pharisees who had gathered around him were just like that. They were ultra-religious people. They kept all the fasts and all the feasts of their religion. And so they considered themselves to be very, very righteous people. And they also despised others. Now, the main lesson to be learned from this parable is found right at the very end of verse 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now that is a principle that operates in God's realm. A principle, perhaps, that a great number of people have failed to appreciate. In fact, a lesson, perhaps, that they have never learned. Now this principle has always been in operation with God. Let me prove that. The devil himself was a created being. He was known as Lucifer, son of the morning. His position in God's realm was that of the cherub that covereth, which would seem to indicate that he was the protector of God's throne. Yet, because of pride, he exalted himself. And instead of protecting the throne of God, he sought to assume that place. He would exalt himself above God. And the moment that that thought of pride entered his heart, that moment he fell as lightning. And ultimately he shall be brought down to the very lowest level, and his eternal position will be cast into the lake of fire. So he was one who exalted himself and has been and will be abased. Now over against that, you have the case of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the scriptures make it very plain concerning him that he never sought to exalt himself, but rather he humbled himself. And the scripture says concerning him, when relating his humility, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." He couldn't humble himself any lower. But right there is the turning point. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to the lowest depths, and God has highly exalted him to the highest place in heaven. Now this principle that operated in relation to Lucifer, son of the morning, who became the adversary, the devil, principle operated also in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the case of the one, he exalted himself and was abased. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and was exalted. Now that principle also operates in the lives of men. See, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It should be obvious now from the two illustrations that I have drawn from the Word of God that the idea of pride and a person exalting himself stems from the influence and the example of the devil, who is the enemy of God and the enemy of mankind. But humility, that which causes a man to humble himself, is that which comes from the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, with these things in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ then relates the parable. In the parable, there are two men. Now, both of them, to use modern expressions, both of these men went up to the same church gathering. They went at the same time, and it would appear they went to do the same thing. The language of the Bible is this: two men went up into the temple to pray. And so the background to this would be the city of Jerusalem. In the days when the temple was standing in that great city, and at various times of the day, people would wend their way up to that temple. There were certain hours that were looked upon as the hour of prayer. Some would go to pray at 9 o'clock in the morning. That would be called, in their way of reckoning, the third hour. Others would go in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. That was termed the ninth hour. But they would go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now then, we want to look first of all at the first man, for here is the man who exalted himself. Now, let me say that over this particular passage, you might write a great question. You might write these words: how is a man accepted with God? Or, to use biblical language, how is a man justified with God? We shall use the word accepted. Everyone knows the meaning of that word. How is any person accepted with God? Now, this becomes a great problem in the minds of some people. They would like to have the assurance that they have been accepted by God. But some people never seem to grasp this meaning. They never seem to have the assurance that God has accepted them. They have laid too much stress on the other side of the coin, and they're saying, "Have I accepted Jesus Christ correctly? Is my faith the right kind of faith?" Today, my friend, I want you to look at this side from this parable to realize this, that when God accepts us, and if God accepts us on this scriptural basis, then we can be absolutely assured we have been accepted by God. And that is what counts. How is a man accepted by God? Now, here's the picture. One man who considers himself very righteous, an ultra-religious man, performing his religious duties, that is, to all outward appearances, this man goes up to the temple and he begins to pray. Now, if you and I had watched this Pharisee, we would have noted this, that this man could pray at different places. When the hour of prayer came, if he happened to be out on the street, he would hurriedly get to an intersection where there would be more people who could see him. He would stand publicly on the street at the intersection and recite his long prayers for a pretense, so that people would take note of him and say, "Oh, what a very religious man he is. He's a righteous man. He's a holy man." But he wanted to be seen of men. Now, you and I should know that our dealings with God should be in private, not in public. We don't exercise ourselves in prayer to be seen by men or heard by men. Prayer is something we offer to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, when you pray, go into the inner room and shut the door. Pray to your Father in secret. But these Pharisees, they performed their religious duties publicly in order to be seen by men and to have the praise of men. And you know something? They got what they went in for. But when they went up to the temple, they also stood and prayed in such a way that people would take note of them. Now this man went up to the temple to pray. I want you to take note now of what he said in his prayer. He stood and prayed thus with himself. Now isn't that strange? Standing aloof from everybody else. Not only is he praying with himself, that's very significant. While he uses the name of God in his prayer, he's not telling God anything. What he's saying is this, God, I thank thee. Now I want you to notice all the I's that come into this man's prayer. Of course, he was a blind Pharisee, blind spiritually, although he has five big I's in his prayer. Take note of them. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You notice it's simply I. This man simply spoke about himself when he was supposed to be praying to God. Now, if he had really been praying to God, he could have left himself out of it entirely. But however, here is a man who is exalting himself. Now, notice what he says. I thank thee, I am not as other men are. First of all, he starts with certain negatives. He's comparing himself now with other people. He said, I am not as other men are. And he takes the very worst of people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Now, if you're going to compare yourself or contrast yourself with other people, surely you ought to think of the best of people. How do you line up with the best of people? It's so easy to look down your nose at the worst of people, these people who are extortioners, these people who are unjust, these people who are adulterers, and it's so easy to say, I haven't sunk to the level of these people. I am better than they are, holier than thou. And he looked over and he saw the publican. And he says, I'm not even as this publican. Now, he has some positives in his life, but not all negatives. Now, he tells us the things that he really does, the positives. I fast twice in the week. Now, remember this. God never asked him to fast twice in the week, but nevertheless he did it. He went beyond what the law had asked for. That is, he was following traditions rather than truth. I fast twice in the week. Then he says, I give tithes of all that I possess. Now I know in certain religious circles today we hear an awful lot about tithing. In fact, it's about all that some preachers can preach about is trying to get money or extract money from their congregations or from their listeners, and they keep asking for the tithes. Now, I want you to realize this, my friend, that even in the Old Testament, a person was not required to pay tithes of all that he acquired, in spite of what some people preach. You'll not find in the Old Testament that the law required them to pay tithes of all that they possessed. But this man did. So he went a little beyond what was expected of him. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. That's more than what some folk can say today. So he was a man who not only had negatives in his life, he had positives. Fasted twice in the week and gave tithes of all that he possessed. But yet, that man was not accepted by God. God does not accept us when we think that we are righteous enough for his presence. God does not accept us on the grounds of how much we give. God does not accept us because of the way we live in fasting and so on. Now look over for a moment or two at the other man, the poor publican, the man who was looked down on. He didn't rush into the presence of God. He stood afar off. And he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, or God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now I want you to notice at the time they went up to pray, if it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then the sacrifice would be made on the altar at that time. Now that was the way of approach to God under the old Jewish economy. Approaches had to be made to God on the ground of sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And while the sacrifice was on the altar, the Pharisee was so good, he was not a sinner. Sacrifices were made for sinners. He wasn't a sinner, he was a self-righteous man. He rushed right past the sacrifice and presented himself, exalting himself, saying, I. But now this poor publican, he wouldn't pass by the sacrifice. He stands afar off. He took up the attitude that God had given to him, the right place. He stood afar off. That was the place of the sinner. He had no right to approach God until his sins were dealt with. And so he took God's verdict on himself. He was a sinner. He knew it. He acknowledged it. And then he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, taking the position of being the abject sinner. He had no claim upon God. And he smote upon his breast, and he's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But on what basis could God be merciful to him? On what basis could God accept him? He acknowledges, of course, that he's a sinner. But there was a sacrifice on the altar. Now he's acknowledging that that sacrifice was being made for him. He was the sinner for whom that sacrifice was being made. So he accepts God's provision for himself, and he asks for God's mercy on the basis of the substitutionary sacrifice. Now here's what the Lord Jesus said. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, my friend, perhaps you're saying, yes, but we are not Jews, and we don't go to Jerusalem, we don't go to the temple, and we don't have blood sacrifices today. No, my friend, but remember, there was a sacrifice made at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. He was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. And there was God's answer to the sinner's need. There was the fulfillment of all the sacrifices that were offered on Jewish altars. And now, how do we stand in relation to the sacrificial work of Christ? Do we consider ourselves so righteous, so good, that we don't need to repent? Do we consider ourselves so good that God's going to accept us for what we haven't done and for what we have done? All those good things. Surely God will give you a place in heaven because of that? No, my friend. There's only one way into God's heaven. Is by way of the cross work of Christ. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're like the Pharisee, you've passed the sacrifice by, and you think God's going to accept you because of who you are and what you are. Remember this, the poor sinner that comes in God's way and just looks upon that sacrifice that Christ has made, and by the empty hand of faith will accept Christ. Like the penitent of old, laying his hand upon the head of the sacrifice and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, that's the man, that is the woman who is accepted by God. How then can we be accepted by God? How is a man justified by God? By receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, the one who humbled himself and died on Calvary's cross, and rose again and went back to the glory. He is both a Prince and a Savior, able and willing to save to the very uttermost all who are coming unto God by Him.